Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where fierce independence is the norm. I love saying that. I've heard Norm say it so much, and I enjoy saying it too. It's true. This is the place where fierce independence is the norm, and this is one of the things I share with Norm. We don't carry water for anyone. Like I said, if you want to know more about me, you can log on at madashellinamerica.com. I've got the same deal Norm's got going. If you want to go back and look at my archives, you can log on at madashell. You give me $5 a month. We're going to be adding content, swag, that's T-shirts, hats, and you can help keep fierce independence on the radio by supporting people like Norm and myself. So I was talking about mad as hell. What makes you mad as hell? So mad as hell that you feel it cannot go unresponded to in the world. And I was saying that mad as hell, when we allow ourselves to get mad as hell, when we don't allow people to talk us out of it, and we distinguish it from rage, which is always destructive, that we relocate the center of power and political power from out there to right here where we are. So let's go to J.D. J.D. in Chicago. Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. What's up, J.D.? You're on with Adam Klugman.
Adam, thank you for being live today, by the way.
Yeah, I hear there's not a lot of live people on. I'm glad to be here.
No, they're not. My mad as hell goes all the way back to 2001, and those whole 8 years. Mm. If we would have actually reinvestigated 9/11 and everything, now that we know all these new things are coming out, that we know there was a conspiracy, we know that the buildings couldn't have fallen, and then also investigated and charged the president, the vice president, everybody else with all the crimes that they did. The Republicans and also the bankers in 2006, 7, and 8, I'm a collector of newspapers, and you can see the pattern of what they did to us. All of a sudden, all of these people would be running around trying to cover their butts instead of going after Obama and us.
Right.
In other words, you defer their attention to an area that they're worried about because a lot of them were probably involved.
Well,
they got a pass. They got a pass.
They got a
and
big
pass. And the ones
pass.
That gave the money to the bankers, they got a pass. And as soon as they did that, they can now come after us.
Well, you brought up one of the things that consistently makes me mad as hell, and that is that Iraq was an illegal war against an essentially defenseless country.
Exactly.
Based on lies, and nobody was held to account. Thanks for the call, JD. I do appreciate it. We need to know in this country that we are capable of justice. That is the point. We bring them to justice because we as a country need to know that we are capable of justice. And it makes me mad as hell that they get away with these crimes while they're busting kids on the street for selling nickel bags of weed. That just is not okay. Let's go to William in Chicago. William, we got about a minute. Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. You're on.
Say I'm mad as hell about this recently coined phrases, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, where that you can't even enjoy Thanksgiving and be thankful for everything you have and having food and a place to stay. Now you got to be rushing out to buy possessions and things as if there's something, you know, something we're lacking. Be running out at midnight or camping out to find a sale. You know, that's what I'm mad about. And being attacked by, like this worker at the Target, attacked by Target for starting a petition saying that they should allow the Target family members to stay home on Thanksgiving and saying that they ought to be thankful that they have a job, according to many.
Oh, right, yeah. You're thankful you're not out on the street. William, I could not agree with you more. There's not even a whole lot that I can add to that. When we come back, we're going to meet a guy who's mad as hell. His name is Lee Camp. This is the Norman Goldman Show, where fierce independence is the norm. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman on this Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. How did your Thanksgiving go? How was the turkey? Did you have enough to eat? I know I did. Did you have enough gratitude? That I was working on. But I did end up at the end with the right amount of gratitude, and I woke up in the morning mad as hell. So I think that's an appropriate response. First, we're grateful, and then we wake up. We got to get back to business because this country is in trouble. it needs our attention. And this first hour, we're talking about what it means to get mad as hell. And that mad as hell is not about raging. It is not just about yelling and screaming. And because getting mad as hell is definitely not rage. Because, as we identified in the first segment, rage is always destructive. And that's what the Tea Party's doing. Let's dismantle the government. You always know you're in the presence of rage when it wants to destroy something. That's what rage does. But legitimate human anger is empowering. It is elemental to what it means to be human. And it relocates the center of power from somewhere out there where we defer it to our villains and we defer it to our heroes to right here. Where we are the heroes and we identify the villains in our own hearts first before we identify them out there. And then we go to battle to change the world. That's, to me, the power of mad as hell. I use the example of Gandhi. Was mad as hell at the English. Because being mad as hell is an appropriate response to being treated like a second-class citizen. Just like in this country, it's an appropriate response when the banks get bailed out, but the people don't. You should get mad as hell. Don't let anyone talk you out of that. We should all be mad as hell, and we need to get mad as hell and stay empowered until we get the change, because mad as hell is about formulating a creative response to the crisis of our world, and everything depends on your ability to respond, on my ability to respond, on our ability as the people, as the 99%, to respond to the indignity that comes to us from power. So that's my wrap on it. You want to join the conversation? What makes you mad as hell? 1-888-321-6001. Our next guest is somebody who I think does an excellent job of being mad as hell. In fact, he's formulated his own kind of brand of mad as hell called a moment of clarity. His name is Lee Camp, and I guess if you were going to assign him a category, you would say he was a comedian. But I think he's more than a comedian. In the way that I think Lenny Bruce was more than a comedian. The way that George Carlin was more than a comedian. These were people who were commenting on what they saw socially. You know, Jerry Seinfeld's a comedian. That's different than what Lenny Bruce was doing. These are beyond observations. Our next guest is Lee Camp. You can check him out at leecamp.net. Here's what some people have to say about him. I love this one. Lee Camp is the Che Guevara of comedy. I think that really gets to it. Janine Garofalo said he's an amazing writer and a great political thinker. I think that is also true. And twice a week he does something called The Moment of Clarity, which you can check out at leecamp.net. He is going to do one of his Moment of Clarities right now on our show. Lee Camp, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
How you doing? Thanks for having me again.
I'm all fired up. I'm glad you're here, Lee. So you heard my whole kind of intro to what it means to be mad as hell. And when I came across your stuff, I was banging around the internet just looking for Wall Street, and I came across your stuff, and I got to say, I was just stunned. I was really impressed, and I thought, this guy's doing mad as hell, but he's doing his own brand of it. So leecamp.net, check it out. So where are you right now, Lee?
Yeah, I was glad to find you, too, because us mad as hellions need to stick together.
Mad as hellions. I see it on the back of a jean jacket. Mad as, like, cruising down on mopeds or, like, I don't know, electric motorcycles.
Exactly. I am in Richmond, Virginia. I actually stopped by Occupy Richmond, Virginia just an hour ago to see how they're hanging on and to bring them some hand warmers for when it finally gets cold.
So you've been involved with the Occupy Wall Street movement right from the beginning. You live in New York, and you kind of been really engaging this movement, haven't you?
Yeah, as much as I can. I was there on day one, and you know, I went down. I kind of missed the beginning of the raid that happened a few days ago, whatever, a week and a half back. And but I was there I was there after the raid had happened, and I was there the following morning when about 5,000 people came back into the park and. Kind of, it was really pretty beautiful that you know, despite kicking the media out, despite pepper spraying and arresting everyone and destroying all the tents, 5,000 people showed up to say, you know, this isn't over.
Yeah, that's right. That's mad as hell. It's about staying power, too. All right, so you do something on your website called, and all over YouTube, called The Moment of Clarity. So, and you do it twice weekly, is that right?
Yeah, twice a week.
All right, so Lee Camp is our guest, leecamp.net. So have at it, man. I'm going to hand the mic over to you. What are you mad as hell about? What's your moment of clarity this week?
Well, this one is about, I mean, the pepper spraying that's been going on, but really about the pepper spraying at UC Davis. I wrote this right after that, or I came up with the idea for it. But anyway, this was a moment of clarity that I just put out a few days ago. So here we are. You've arrested us. You've tear gassed us. You've barricaded and pepper sprayed us. But we're bigger, stronger, and more resolved than ever. Perhaps you should try hurling other crap at us. Maybe banana pudding or a Baba Ganoush grenade. Maybe that'll slow us down. Do you have any extra kitchen sinks you could hurl those at us? Why are they still here, you're probably wondering? How is this happening? Well, I'm feeling generous, so I'll let you know. Well, you're fighting on a ground level in a quaint and, to be honest, barbaric manner. But we're fighting from our souls and our minds. We're waging a revolution of thought, a battle of ideas, a war to drag this country's subconscious anger into conscious passion. You can't pepper spray a thought, all right? So stop crying. That stuff stings, damn it. But it doesn't slow us down. It just makes us angrier. But it is damn annoying. It's like if your opponent farts during an MMA fight. You're not going to forfeit, but it's like, come on, really? Here, I'll put this all in easier terms for you. You know the most recent X-Men movie? I think it was called X-Men. We're going to keep making these until we're all dead. Anyway, in that movie, Kevin Bacon plays a mutant who, whenever he gets hit by a missile, he just absorbs the energy and gets stronger. But the U.S. military only knows one solution to any problem, so they keep firing missiles. That's what you're doing, and it's just making us bigger. And coincidentally, Kevin Bacon in real life lost all his money in a Wall Street Ponzi scheme. Sound familiar? And coincidentally, Kevin Bacon was also once told he couldn't dance. And he just danced and danced and danced until the corporate elite were like, all right, you can dance. So look into my eyes, mayors and senators and representatives and corporate elite across this country. We are Kevin Bacon. But really, if you want to look at the perfect symbol of fighting two different types of battles, look at the metal barricades that now fully surround Liberty Plaza in New York City. Let me repeat that. Metal barricades that surround Liberty Plaza in the shadow of the Freedom Tower. Billionaire Bloomberg thinks he can cordon off liberty and freedom. They're very scary ideas, so we better put these metal gates around them to keep them away from people. You wouldn't want free speech just running rampant around the city. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You're trying to sweep up mercury with a broom. You're trying to stop a raging river with a spider web. You're trying to punch a dream. Don't you get it? You've got batons, but we've got ideas. You've got mace. We've got memes. You've got false arrest, but we've got our convictions. You've got horses, but we've got cats. Some of us have cats. You've got handcuffs, but we've got the energy of generations of steadily increasing abuse. You're driven by hatred, and your true bosses are driven by greed. We're driven by the possibility of a better world. You're fighting a war for the landscape. We're fighting a war for the mindscape. We would welcome you on our side with open arms. Otherwise, you can just keep trying to tear gas a mental awakening. But it won't work, because we are Kevin Bacon.
The Che Guevara of comedy. I think it's right. Lee Camp, that was fantastic. LeeCamp.net. Lee, I want to go to break, and when we come back, I want to play a clip from you on Fox News. You, like, lived out everybody or every liberal's fantasy live on Fox News. It's a beautiful clip. Check out Lee Camp at LeeCamp.net. Moment of clarity. How many times a week do you do this, Lee?
Yeah, twice a week. They're completely free, and each one's 3-4 minutes long.
I get the subscription to my email, and it uplifts me, twice a week. So LeeCamp.net is the website. It's about keeping guys like Lee in play. When we come back, we're going to play everyone's Fox News fantasy for you. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman on this, the day after Thanksgiving 2012. This first hour, we have been talking and defining what it means to be mad as hell. And I've been putting it in the context not of yelling and screaming and pounding our fists or raging, which is always destructive, but in terms of insisting on our dignity as human beings and not relenting until we get it. And I think that's what we're seeing in this country. That's what we're seeing with the Occupy movement. And I have on as my guest my favorite mad as hell comedian, Lee Camp. Lee, welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show.
Thanks, Adam.
If you missed Lee Camp's moment of clarity in the last segment, you can check it out at www.leecamp.net. Lee is, as I said, I hesitate to call you a comedian, Lee, because I think it's more like social commentary. I do think of you in the tradition of more like Lenny Bruce, Carlin, people that aren't just making, hey, did you ever notice how the soap slips out of your hands? You know, that was cool. That was cool in the 90s, you know what I mean, when we just didn't care.
The other thing is I feel like the true comedians now are the politicians, and it seems like the comedians are the ones telling the truth half the time.
Yeah, that's right. I think of them as the clowns.
Right.
So I wanted to play a clip. So Lee Camp lived out my fantasy, and I think it's probably the fantasy of every Fox News hater in the world. So Lee gets on. Well, you set up the clip, Lee. You're there as kind of a comedian to be like, you're there. They think you're going to be a clown and put on the nose and squeak the horn and tell some funny political jokes and then leave, but they don't know what's about to happen to them. So kind of set it up. Where are we? What goes on? And then we'll play it.
Yeah, they had asked me on. I mean, they knew I was left-wing, but they had asked me on because they wanted a left-wing comedian and a right-wing comedian to tell some jokes. And so my plan all along was, you know, I'm not going to be their little monkey boy. You know, they could hire someone else to do that. And so I guess you'll hear in the clip what I ended up saying instead of going with the pre-approved jokes.
I remember you and I talked about it offline, and you were saying, you know, you were kind of planning on doing this, and then you got into the green room, and people were nice to you, and it's kind of hard person to person, and you don't want to be a jerk, but you kind of went for it anyway, right?
Yeah. The other thing, you know, and this didn't really, wasn't much trouble for me, but I think a lot of people that are in that situation, both comedians and authors or whoever they have on, is that they want to be asked back, and it could be really influential for their career to keep being on, and so they want to make everyone happy. You know, I'm willing to shoot my career in the foot to be able to speak some truth on their network, so that didn't really bug me, but I think that's why you don't see these moments very often.
But that's what I like so much about it. Let's roll. This is Lee Camp, leecamp.net, on Fox News, speaking truth to clowns.
All right, Julia and Lee, we appreciate it. And I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot more jokes for the rest of the campaign here.
Oh,
they just keep coming.
What? Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What is Fox News? It's just a parade of propaganda, isn't it? It's just a festival of ignorance. What? Why, a million
Fox
people
News.
Are dead in Iraq. Come on, this is ridiculous. What's the point of this? This is insane.
Well, I love,
go
I
out,
love
people
Fox
at home,
News.
Go outside. Go hug
Lee,
your children.
You should be more,
well,
Lee,
Fox
you should
News
be more worried.
Love your family, you know.
And you get all the news.
Hillary Clinton
you get
is running.
All the news you can at Fox News. All right, thanks,
and
guys.
I think, oh, okay.
All right, that's it. All right. We're also talking about Captain Kirk this morning, and hey, because it's Saturday morning, we're having some fun. Greg, you've got the cushiest job in the world.
Yeah, look who just beamed aboard right now. The ladies from the Starship Enterprise. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you?
Okay, their friend Bones, you know him as Dr. McCoy, just wrote a new book on Captain Kirk and the way he was able to woo beautiful women like this. It's all coming up. Stay with us, please.
I had to leave the tail on. Because you're there talking about a million people are dead in Iraq, man. Get out. Get off this. And it's, you know, off to Captain Kirk and how he got all these beautiful women. And it's so dissociated, man. It's just, it's practically schizophrenic. And that was why I left the tail on. Because it's just, the juxtaposition is just downright weird and schizophrenic.
Yeah, and they completely provided their own punchline, you know, at the end of that thing. And I love how he tries to play it off like, because it's Saturday, we're having fun. Yeah, that's the reason that you've never presented a real news story in the past 10 years.
Yeah, right, we're just having fun because it's Saturday, as if they do anything else but just misrepresent the truth and kind of just obfuscate with just nonsense. I mean, they go from lie to just complete inanity and I can't help but just, you know, feel that there's just hundreds of thousands of people watching just shutting down because you just can't assimilate the juxtaposition of those two things. It's just so weird. But you got big kudos from me for living out my fantasy. I don't know, I'll be honest with you. Well, and yeah, your inspiration, but I don't know if I would have had the cojones to get on there and do what you did, man.
Well, thank you, man.
It's Lee Camp, leecamp.net. Twice weekly, he does his Moment of Clarity. I get them. I love them. They're great. They're brilliant. They're insightful. They're funny. They're satirical. It's fantastic. Lee Camp, thanks so much for coming on the Norman Goldman Show, my Mad as Hell Citizen of the Week.
Really appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. LeeCamp.net. Check him out. You can subscribe to his Moment of Clarity podcast, which come in twice a week. They're great. They're free. You can also kind of support him in the same way that you support Norm and you support me by becoming a part of his membership group. This is how we keep guys like Norm and Lee Camp and myself on the air, staying independent. I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up in the next hour. So the next hour I'm going to have on two of the people I respect most when it comes to what's going on in the Occupy movement. They are Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese, and they are core organizers of something called the October2011.org movement. And they actually started organizing an occupation of Freedom Plaza months before the Occupy Wall Street was even a gleam in the eye of Adbusters. And they are certainly see themselves as part of the larger Occupy movement and very well connected to it. But there are some distinctions. They are people who are thinking a little bit outside the box in terms of where we go from here. And how do we think about power? And how do we acquire power? And can we acquire power from the Occupy position, right? Can we acquire power from a sick system without getting sick, right? I mean, this government is selling, you know, metaphorically speaking, is a smallpox, handing out smallpox blankets. I mean, it's a deeply sick system. And so I think this idea that somehow we're going to just walk in there and assume power inside a very sick system because we feel that we are healthy is a very dangerous notion. And there are evidences throughout history of revolutions that have acquired power too quickly. And so this is an open-ended conversation that I want to have with Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese. These are people that when I can't answer questions within my own mind, I go to them. And this is going to be a very free-form, open conversation about identifying where we are with the Occupy movement, how do we acquire power, and where do we go from here. And this is not a conversation we are having at you. We are having this conversation with you. So we want to get your calls ready. 1-888-321-6001. When we come back in the next hour, this is the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman, the place where justice is served. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman in for Norman Goldman. Consumerism, which is precisely the thing that we need to change, because we just cannot be consuming at this rate. It is not sustainable, both from a material point of view, but also, I think, from a psychological and spiritual point of view. It's what keeps us terminally distracted, because we consume instead of act. We consume instead of feel. We consume instead of perceive what is really going on in our world and acting accordingly. So our next guests are going to be two people who I have frequent and important conversations with, both on the air and off the air, about where we are as an Occupy movement, about the nature of our system, how we acquire power, how we define power in terms of Occupy. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about who we are and where we go from here as a movement. So my next guest is Kevin Zeese. He's organizer of Occupy Washington, D.C., and co-director of It's Our Economy, which seeks to democratize the economy, and is co-chair of Come Home America, which brings people from across the political spectrum together who oppose war and militarism. He was recently called, quote, the father of the Occupy movement. You may not know him, but he was recently called the father of the Occupy movement. And anyone who knows Kevin's history of uncompromising organizing and activism over the past several decades knows that this is not an overstatement. And what I want to say before I play a clip from Kevin and bring him on is that this is not a conversation that we are having at you. This is a conversation we want to have with you. So get your pencils or your pens, or if you have a photographic memory, the number is 1-888-321-6001. We want you to join us in this conversation. But before I bring Kevin on, I want to play a clip. This is Kevin Zeese at at the October 2011.org occupation of Freedom Plaza. Let's play it.
I'm telling you, we are at the first steps of a movement that will not be stopped. And you are here to be part of those first steps. That makes you a leader. That makes you a leader with responsibilities. With leadership comes responsibilities, and your responsibility is to grow this movement. Your responsibility is to create new leaders. Your responsibility is to stand strong on our issues and not compromise, not to allow the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the think tanks that are funded by the corporations to get us off message. You know, they often say about the Occupy movement that they don't know what we stand for. What we stand for is very clear. What we want is an end of corporate rule. End corporate rule!
That was organizer Kevin Zeese, core organizer of the October2011.org movement, and he's going to help me and you and all of us have a conversation about where we are as an Occupy movement, how we go forward, how we define and acquire power. Kevin Zeese, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Thanks for having me on. Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Oh, well, after a speech, I know you give a lot of speeches, so you are definitely forgiven. Let's just start a little bit. Let's give people a little bit of a background about the October2011.org movement, which is kind of distinct, not apart from, but just distinct from what is commonly being called the Occupy movement or the Occupy Wall Street movement. So you're a core organizer of the October2011.org movement. If people want to check it out, they can go to October2011. Did we lose? Kevin, are you still there? We're hearing a dial tone. I think we're good now. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We're back. All right. So Kevin is one of the core organizers of the October2011.org movement, which called for an occupation of Freedom Plaza, as I said in the setup, before the Occupy Wall Street was a gleam in the adbuster's eye. I don't say that because it's a competition. I just say it because I think it's going to illustrate an important point. I don't know why we keep getting a dial tone. Let me get rid of that. There we go. So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about the background of the October2011.org movement as distinct from what kind of spontaneously erupted as the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Well, we started organizing back last April. We went public in early June, and it was made up by people who have been trying for years to get the government to listen to the people. And it was people from the healthcare movement, from economic justice movements, from independent media and from anti-war movements, and we were trying to, hold on a second, I'm confused here. Market's going through a little crisis here, so I'm sorry about that.
What Kevin is referring to, we were also going to have on Margaret Flowers, another core organizer of the October2011.org movement. She is a pediatrician, and they are at a gathering where someone is having a devastating allergic reaction to some food that they ate. And as a doctor, Margaret is tending to them, and Kevin is flying solo with me. So that's what's going on in the background with Kevin. We're just in the spirit of full transparency.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Not a problem. Do you need to tend to that?
No, it's okay. Somebody ate a shrimp that they were allergic to, so supermarket's dealing with that.
Yeah, that's serious.
So anyway, we started this because we felt frustrated that people weren't being heard. If you look at our website, which you can find by either October2011.org or it goes to the same place if you look at OccupyWashingtonDC.org, you'll see on the front page an article that talks about seven issues that supermajorities of Americans agree on, but the government's going in the opposite direction. We stand with the majority of Americans on those issues, issues like getting money out of politics, about expanding and improving Medicare to cover all Americans, cutting the military budget, issue after issue that I think are pretty obvious to most people, but are not being dealt with by the government. And so we are, trying to show that it's time for the people to rule, that the people could rule this country better than the economic and political elites who are sending this country over a cliff, both economically as well as trapping us in war quagmires around the world that we don't need to be in. And so that's when we got started out of frustration. We thought that if we occupied public space, we'd also be able to occupy the political dialogue, and that has turned out to be true. And we learned this really from the people of Cairo in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Spain, in Madison, Wisconsin. I think example after example showed that if you feel strong enough about something, you go out and occupy public space to demand it, that you will occupy part of political dialogue. And I think we've already had a big impact on the debate of various issues in the United States.
And you guys started organizing this idea. I mean, there's the kind of the great times theory and the great man theory. The idea is that there were great men or people who catalyzed social change because of who they were as individuals. But then there's also this idea that they were catalyzed by their times. And I feel that the Occupy movement is an idea whose time came and that you guys were a little bit ahead of the curve. And so what were you guys doing differently? You guys came to the table at Freedom Plaza a little more kind of organized and prepared. It was a little less spontaneous than what erupted around you. So what happened? So you guys, tell us a little bit about the kind of preparations that you made and then the impact of the Occupy Wall Street movement when it just suddenly seemed to erupt nationwide.
By the way, you can call Marcus Lars back if you want to.
Okay, thanks.
What happened was, 6 months ago, we started to meet with a steering committee regularly, and it was a weekly meeting, and we operated by consensus, and we formed various committees that would work on lots of details, everything from porta-potties, sleeping arrangements, food arrangements, political decisions, what do we stand for, the website, lots of details. And we really felt that we need to be organized when we got out there. We studied hard on what it takes to nonviolently change regimes, to change governments. And there are a number of books and histories about that are worth learning from. We went to the Albert Einstein Institute, which is a group based in Massachusetts that's been studying regime change by nonviolent force for the last 40 years. And from that, we learned, first of all, how important organization was, that you really can't spend too much time with organization. I think we've seen around the country some of the occupies having significant problems because they were not organized. And so organization plays a big role, and we luckily had a great team of people. The steering committee grew to about 45, and people started taking on lots of different tasks, and we developed this plan. When the Adbusters came out with their call to occupy Wall Street in late July, we were already into that from April, so we'd already been pretty far into it, and we immediately endorsed the idea. And some of our New York organizers went to New York to the meetings to help plan Occupy Wall Street. They only had about a month and a half to plan, so really not as much time as we had already spent. And so they didn't get to everything, and we were actually kind of worried from their initial assemblies, which are very hard to do, the assemblies. It's not a natural thing to go to a consensus meeting with dozens of people discussing challenging issues that you haven't ever thought about before. And so the assemblies were difficult, and we were worried that Wall Street wouldn't pull it off. But as it got closer, about 2 weeks beforehand, the assemblies got stronger, and they got more clear, they got better at it. And then we saw what really, I think, won the day for them was a refusal to back down, a persistence. The initial turnouts weren't gigantic, but they stayed with it and persisted and didn't leave. And that kind of courage, I think, brought more people out. More people saw the courage and reacted to it. I think that is what leadership's about in these kind of situations, showing courage, showing it can be done, and then people join you. And I think what really put over the top was abusive police behavior. There were two incidents, one when they pepper sprayed women who were already in police custody for no reason at all, and it was caught on multiple video cameras, a half dozen of them, from different directions, and showed that the police were lying when they said there was a reason for the pepper spray. And the second was a march, they were going into Brooklyn, and the police led them onto the roadway rather than on the walkway. And when they put them on the roadway about two-thirds of the way through, they blocked off the front, blocked off the back, and arrested 700 people.
Right, the Brooklyn Bridge.
So, exactly. I think those two incidents really put this issue on the map and caused spontaneous reactions all around the country.
I want to explore this idea when we come back from the break. We're going to bring Margaret Flowers on to join this conversation, and we're going to take your calls. We got some calls on the board. I want to explore this idea of regime change. You brought it up. We've been using this to talk about countries, governments overseas, but we need a regime change here at home, and how do we go about that? And is it still possible to do it from within the system, or do we somehow need to step outside the system in order to bring about the change that we want to see? So when we come back, we're going to bring on Margaret Flowers. We're going to have more with Kevin Zeese, the recently named father of the Occupy movement. And your calls, 1-888-321-6001. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman, the place where justice is served. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman, and we are having an open-ended conversation with Kevin Zeese about where we are as an Occupy movement, where we go from here, how we acquire power, and this whole notion of regime change here at home. And that is not just something we apply to the Bush administration, but we apply to the fact that our political system is broken. It is a broken regime that is no longer serving its people. How do we go about shifting that from inside the system or from without? I'd like to welcome Margaret Flowers to the show. She is a Maryland pediatrician who has advocated for single-payer health reform for years as part of Physicians for National Health Program and HealthcareNow.org. Her political activism took a quantum leap forward when she found herself in a group of protesters called the Baucus 8, who were arrested for disrupting a Senate Finance Committee by demanding to testify on behalf of single-payer. Margaret Flowers, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Thank you for having me on, Adam. I apologize for being late.
Well, when you're saving lives, you get a pass, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Is the person all right?
I hope so. He's on his way to getting treatment, so that thing should be good.
That can be really scary. Kevin Zeese, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
So, Margaret, when we last left Kevin, we are going to get to your calls, even if we have to take it over the bottom of the hour break. So please hang in there. Margaret, when we left with Kevin, we were talking. Margaret is also a core organizer of the October2011.org on the ground in D.C. in Freedom Plaza with Kevin Zeese. They are together in this. Margaret, we were talking about this idea of regime change. Kevin had used this term, and that's a term we usually talk about in terms of military terms and the things that happen overseas. But we really do need a regime change here at home. And I think some of the questions that come up are, can we do that within the existing system, or do we have to somehow do it outside that system? And if so, how? And you're a pediatrician. Give us a diagnosis of where we're at and how we move forward.
Right. Well, as you know, my involvement with the October 2011 movement came as a result of my experiences pushing in Congress for health care reform and seeing up front and up close and personal what goes on there. And if I believed that there was a way to do this from within the system, I would not be sleeping in Freedom Plaza. But it's just, this is a result of a 40-year process. I don't know if Kevin talked about the Lewis Powell memos. That was 40 years ago this August, that clearly outlined a plan for taking over, you know, corporate control of our political system. They've put that into play with think tanks like the Heritage Foundation and the Cato Institute, with ALEC, which writes legislation on behalf of big business, and with the Chamber of Commerce, with U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the 2,500 lobbyists that they have controlling our political process. So it's just, you can't you know, no matter who you put into this current system, unfortunately, because the system is broken, no matter how good that person is, it just doesn't function. And that's why we believe that first we need a nonviolent transformational movement to shift the power before that you know, approach, electoral or a legislative approach, will work.
So our guests are Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeeson. We have a hard break coming up. But what I hear you saying, Margaret, and I want to get to calls and get callers' responses to this, is you spent a lot of time, and I know you did, and we were talking during that time, working within the system, lobbying congressmen and senators for social change, and it wasn't working. And you saw firsthand that even good people got corrupted by a very sick system. So we have to figure out how we're going to stand outside that system and stand for the kind of change we want to see in the world. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back with your calls. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman, the place where justice is served. Our guests are Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese, core organizers of the October2011.org movement. excuse me, Kevin and Margaret, welcome back to the show. I want to go to some calls here. People have been holding for a while, so and then we'll get back into our conversation. Let's go to John in Orange County. John, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Hi, Adam. Thank you so much. Enjoying the conversation, your show, and the guests. Speaking of conversation about restructuring power away from the 1% and returning it to the 99%, I think the overwhelming message, of course, of the 99 is that the people have lost their voice. And there's so many things that come up. There's these old words like trickle-down theory and things that people have bought into for such a long time, wealth redistribution. Those things need to change, and we need to have new words and new meanings to things. For instance, low taxes, yeah, that is wealth redistribution because the money goes to the top. And on the other hand, if you have higher taxes for the wealthy, it becomes wealth recirculation because the wealthy people put that money back into the economy through the people that they hire. And there are so many things that can be debunked now with new charts and new data, 30 years of data that shows that the trickle-down theory has never worked no matter who's in office. So the new words that need to come from us need to be the words, even just simple things like occupy and inequality and understanding that the 99% are the job creators and the 1%, we would say they're the job distributors. But we also need to remember that we want to regain our sovereignty. People don't talk about sovereignty and the power of the people. I heard a great talk from Richard S. Grossman, who was a professor of economics, that did a history of corporations, and it made it so clear about how the sovereignty and power has shifted over time. So if we look to the history and we look to what we've said and start saying it in a different way and making it popular, when George Bush basically said you're either with us or you're against us, he set up a very much black and white thinking that divided us all, when really all of the possibilities in the grayscale. And that's absolutely where we need to go, and you're doing a great job helping us get there.
Well, we are. Thank you very much, and thanks for the call. What a great call. Margaret, do you want to respond to some of the things that John had to say? Are you there, Margaret?
Oh, she's talking to me and not hearing her.
She's not here. Hold on one second. Let me make sure. Margaret?
Come on. There we are.
Hi, Margaret. Yeah, there you are. Oh, did you hear John?
I did, and I think that's really key. George Lakoff has taught us about language and framing, and those are great terms. One of the things that we really focus on our website, OccupyWashingtonDC.org, is we listed 15 issues that are in crisis in this country. And for every one of these issues, there are evidence-based solutions that would address them. And that's kind of another important facet of what we're doing here in Freedom Plaza is talking about those. I don't know if Kevin discussed the super committee hearing that we held here on Freedom Plaza.
No.
Just a few weeks ago, we brought...
That's what I was going to point to, because of his discussion of taxes. We really hit that hard in our 99% deficit reduction proposal that obviously, Margaret, you're talking about since I can barely talk.
Oh, sorry about that, Kevin. Sounds tough. So go ahead, Margaret. So you have a super committee meeting in Freedom Plaza. Is that correct? Kind of.
That's correct. We had done some actions up on the Hill around the super committee, and we were chanting, "How do we fix the deficit and the wars and tax the rich?" And we thought, why don't we have our own super committee hearing? We brought in Carl Canetta from the Project for Defense Alternatives, who talked about how we could change to a less militaristic foreign policy, more diplomacy-based, and reduce our military spending significantly and use our military actually for what they're intended to be used for instead of just for every single thing that we can think of, and brought in Andrew Fieldhouse from the Economic Policy Institute to talk about a taxation policy that would actually bring the revenue that we require, $1.2 trillion, in a two-year period instead of 10 years. We also talked about other solutions, revaluing mortgages, erasing student loan debt, and improved Medicare for All, strengthening Social Security, a real jobs program. All of these things based on the evidence of what works, and we created our own 99% deficit proposal, which we delivered to the super committee last week.
Fantastic. And what I love about that, and I want to go to a call because someone has a Medicare for Everyone comment, and I know that's right up your alley, Margaret, but two things. This idea that holding our own super committee hearings, I think is very important. I often get a sense with the Occupy that what we need to be doing is talking to each other, not to power, that we don't set ourselves up in relationship to power, but rather to each other, and convene a conversation that where we come to understand our own agenda better, and then we submit it. So let's go to Keith in Chicago. Keith, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show. You're on with Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese, who's having trouble talking.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for being on the Norman Goldman Show.
I'll follow the last phone call. With all due respect for every one of you, I'm on board with just about everything you say. My only problem is, as a simple person, it does simple math.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at my pay stub from, you know, getting paid yesterday. Our deficits to have sustenance for our society, it is a restructuring of our society's ideas, not just the politicians. I think the politician side is a hard nut to crack, the corporate side, the taxation. But when you talk about Medicare for all, like Social Security for all, I just don't know where that tax revenue is going to come from. $1.2 trillion over 2 years. I'm not a professor of economics, but that's not enough either. And I don't know where that comes from. The defense budget for fiscal 11 is like $527 billion. You cut it in half, it still does not bridge that gap. Taxing the wealthy, great. They deserve to pay more. I just don't see the numbers out there from my simple studies on Friday nights on the computer. I believe that the whole world is starting to enter into a really gray area of super debt. Japan, Greece, Italy, Spain are all starting to have life expectancies that are very high with not enough contribution. And this is the thing I challenge all of my Democrat friends and family to really decide. My Social Security contribution last year was $4,777. It's not enough. It's just not enough money out there. I think that's the one thing that
Keith,
the citizen has to really start to ask themselves those tough questions. Besides everything else.
Oh, we lost him? We lost him. But, Keith, thanks for the call. I think it's a fair question. Margaret, do you want to take it?
Sure. I mean, this is kind of the misinformation that's out there, that we don't have enough money to meet our needs, and that's part of what we're trying to do is address that, because we have the wealth in this country to meet all of our needs. I urge Keith to go to our website, OccupyWashingtonDC.org, and read the 99% deficit proposal, because it outlines in there how we can use a more progressive taxation, that actually a global taxation for corporations to keep them from being able to offshore so much of their assets, and actually a number of corporations in this country that not only do they not pay taxes, but they get huge tax refunds. And then as far as Medicare for All, like what I said earlier is that what we're looking at are evidence-based solutions to our problems. Medicare for All is not an experiment. It's been done in other countries. We have Medicare here. We know the health policy on how to do it. And numerous studies have shown, economic studies, even by the Congressional Budget Office, the General Accounting Office, have shown that we can provide comprehensive, high-quality, universal, lifelong health care to every person in this country for the same amount of money that we're spending right now. So that's not even, we don't even have to, you know, reduce our military spending or increase, you know, taxation on the wealthy to meet our needs for health care in this country.
Kevin, do you have enough voice to add something to that? Is there something you want to add to it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very strongly that the facts, what we learned in the super committee when we did our own, was how easy it is to raise enough money in a very fair tax system, a progressive tax system, to make Social Security very secure, to make Medicare work and expand it to cover everybody, and even to create large jobs programs that will restart the economy. I was shocked how easy it was to actually make up the deficits, to reach the goals that the Deficit Commission was working on, and to meet human needs. It was really quite incredible. So I really urge him to go to OccupyWashingtonDC.org and search for our 99% deficit proposal that lays it out quite clearly. We've gone from a progressive tax in the past to almost a flat tax now. The top 400 people, wealthiest in the country, as much wealth as 154 million, are paying 17.4% income tax, while working Americans are paying 25 to 30%, almost twice as much. That's obscene.
Yes.
That's just the 400. And we used to have a high tax rate on the wealthiest of 91%. It remained in the 70s until 1980. And since then, it's dropped and dropped and dropped to almost a flat tax. And that's why we have these deficits, and that's why we have this wealth divide. There's an intentional effort by the wealthy to make this happen, through control of the media, through control of the government. Please check out our deficit committee proposal, because you'll be amazed how we have been ripped off by the super wealthy and misled by concentrated corporate power in the media.
That's
we need to wake up and see reality.
That's OccupyWashingtonDC.org is where you can see the Deficit Committee report. I think it's important that what we see is people break the system, they rig the system, they break the system, and they say there's no money to pay for human need. So it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I would say more than a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're going to have more with Kevin Zeis and Margaret Flowers, core organizers on the ground for occupying Freedom Plaza. Their website is OccupyWashingtonDC.org. You can also learn more about the October 2011 movement at October2011.org movement. We're going to have more right after this break. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back after this.